they can manage their patients, they could be alerted of, you know, what patients might need their attention right then, you know, we'll make recommendations for when to adjust a medication like insulin that a patient might be taking. And it, within each patient, we have a nice, beautiful dashboard that has all the information you need on one screen to make that, you know, decision right then.
That's Chun Yang, and this is Healthcare Confidential. I'm your host, Teresa Jacob Ellis, talking with innovators and experts about health and healthcare in America. Chun Yang is the CEO and co-founder of DiAssist, a digital health company based in Atlanta, Georgia. DiAssist provides best-in-class technologies to help healthcare providers deliver cost-effective virtual care to their patients with chronic conditions. And in the post-pandemic era, virtual care, of course, has come to the forefront. So Chun, welcome to the show and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Teresa. Great to be here.
Tell me a little bit about your professional and educational background. How did you come to do this work?
Yeah, it was actually kind of serendipitous. I was a student at Georgia Tech here in Atlanta about 10 years ago. And in my senior year, I was roped into a research project with some really bright folks at the Atlanta VA Medical Center and Emory University, which is which are both affiliate research institutions of Georgia Tech. And I was lucky enough to work with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Larry Phillips. He's a brilliant endocrinologist, diabetes researcher, teacher, physician. He has been doing this for over 40 years of his life at that point. And it was great because, you know, technology was still, I would say, booming. You know, 10 years ago, the iPhone was just becoming popular. And in healthcare, we weren't really using all that much technology just yet in terms of telehealth or mobile health, things like that. Digital health was still fairly new. Or didn't even exist back then, honestly. And, you know, I was gracious enough to be educated about the growing epidemic of diabetes, which is very unfortunate in this country. You know, as you may know, over 30 million Americans are affected by it. Many more have pre-diabetes, and it's one of the largest healthcare costs in the United States. And so, I learned a lot there. I was actually chosen specifically amongst my peers to work on a great project to help with one of their research studies. It was actually to help collect a whole bunch of information from the patients that were studying at the VA. It was a diabetes study. And, you know, data collection is very manual, labor intensive. It's if you're a diabetic patient, you have to monitor yourself and test yourself for, you know, sometimes multiple times a day. And in a research setting, you absolutely have to make sure you test multiple times a day, because that way we can then better study your data and, you know, use that to develop safe and effective treatment options or, you know, processes to, you know, contribute to the world of science and medicine. But we were essentially chosen to work on some projects, and eventually, and we'll probably get into this in just a little bit, but, you know, this little tool that we, you know, helped develop for this study, you know, has now evolved into this great growing company in the virtual telehealth world we live in today, especially post-pandemic, or I guess the pandemic is still going on technically. And it's, you know, helping thousands and thousands of patients today. So that's really how it started. You know, it was kind of interesting how it all kind of came together. And, you know, I've been in and out of the research world and healthcare. I went out of healthcare and then went back, decided to form the company about 5 years ago. And here we are today.
It's a great story. But what led you 5 years ago to create DiAssist as a company?
You know, when I personally started this about 10 years ago, you know, I was still young. I didn't really know what I wanted to do in my professional career. You know, this was definitely a great experience for me, but like most kids, I wanted to go out, kind of see the world, explore different career opportunities. And I was actually studying to get into medical school or grad school. But actually last minute, because of this project, it actually opened the world to healthcare IT for me. And I decided to just make a complete 180 and pursue this as a career path for myself. Obviously, with little to no experience in it, and I was, you know, very ill prepared for this career. I was actually lucky enough to get my first job at a local EMR practice management company. And, you know, in the world of healthcare IT, that's kind of like your traditional HIT career path. You know, we'll start working, and a lot of my peers, they started working at like an Epic or Cerner. You know, these are your typical career pathways in digital health or healthcare IT. And so that's really where I got my initial exposure to it. I really found out about and, you know, really learned about the inner workings of healthcare, you know, what it really means from a business standpoint and an administrative standpoint, how it's kind of all run behind the scenes. I mean, most people, all they experience is they go to their doctor's office for a visit and, you know, they come out and they don't really know what happens behind the scenes. But, you know, really embedding myself in revenue cycle management, practice management, electronic medical records, you really, you know, truly understand what goes on behind the scenes. And so I was really fascinated by that. You know, I was in that field for a little bit. I actually decided to pursue a deeper career in IT in general outside of healthcare. Worked on a lot of applications and websites, helped, you know, develop new tools and solutions to, you know, help streamline a lot of different workflows that are very, you know, manual labor intensive or whatnot. And while all of this was going on, again, talk about serendipity, the tool that we developed, again, this was 10 years ago, this was actually being utilized at the VA for another research study. And as that was going on, and you know, clinical research studies, they take a while, many, many years to come to fruition and publish on it. It wasn't until 2015, about 5-6 years ago, when we published our first paper showing that, you know, with the utility of a tool like this, which again, eventually became DIASYS as we know today, we could actually help improve outcomes and patient engagement for patients with, you know, diabetes. And we did this at the VA. We did a clinical trial on over 100 patients. It was very positive. And one of the takeaway messages was that, you know, the veterans really, really liked this because, you know, they thought that they were, you know, being taken care of and, you know, someone was engaging with them and paying attention to their diabetes, their condition, and really helping them out. In fact, one of the veterans, you know, said, and this was after the clinical trial, and, you know, as you might know, once a clinical trial ends, typically you kind of stop everything, which is unfortunate. So when we stopped using this tool in this program for that veteran, he actually said, well, what's the point in continuing to monitor and manage my own diabetes if no one's going to pay attention to it? And so that was one of the reasons that kind of, you know, got me saying, like, wow, like, you know, if this could really help that much, you know, I think I should kind of do something about it. And so I think the timing was also pretty good too, because this was when people were starting to talk about telehealth. It, you know, didn't really spread in the industry yet, but it was still fairly new. The industry was starting to talk about value-based healthcare. This was still fairly new. And again, this was back in 2015, and this was the first year that CMS began to reimburse for what we now know as chronic care management. So that was another big deal too, from a, you know, reimbursement and a financial incentive standpoint. So a lot of things just started to come together. And, you know, I was always a tech guru. So as I was observing the technologies that were being developed and being adopted, you know, by then, you know, from 2011 to 2015, all of a sudden, about 70% of your seniors have now iPhones. And so it all kind of came together at the same time. And around 2015, 2016, this was when I decided, hey, you know, I think it's time to, you know, do some good and take what we learned from the VA and really turn this into a company and help a lot more people, you know, as many people as we can, again, affected by diabetes, which is over 30 million today in the country.
So describe for our listeners exactly what DiAssist is, because now you've told us how you kind of got there, but what exactly is it? It's an app.
It's a lot of things actually. At its core, we did develop a software platform that was initially designed, like I said, at the VA to collect data and aggregate all this information that patients are measuring themselves at home. The original thesis was, the problem was that patients were responsible for, monitoring themselves, and what they had to do was basically write their numbers down on pieces of paper or a traditional glucose logbook. If you're familiar with diabetes, it's really tough and it's really challenging and uncomfortable to prick your finger every day and multiple times a day. Get a reading from this little gadget and then have to write these numbers down somewhere. And on top of that, you have to somehow get these numbers to your physician so that they could review it and, make some meaningful treatment decisions for you. Well, there are many problems with that process. First of all, if everything's on paper, so how do you bring that to the office? Patients have to fax them in, email it, just wait until their next 3-month clinic visit and bring literally stacks of pieces of paper for the provider to review, which, to be honest, between you and I, most of the time, the physicians don't really have that much time to go through every single number and really review them, which takes us to the second problem. There's a lot of data, these are scribbles, they're not, logged properly. So we had to really figure out how to, package it in a way that's meaningful for a provider, where a physician could literally look at something for a second, right, or a couple seconds, and immediately know what's going on with that patient so that they could figure out exactly what it is they want to do for that patient regarding their treatment. And then that goes into our third problem, which is, in the world of diabetes today, there's so many different treatment options. There's so many different drugs out there. I mean, if you were paying attention to the Olympics, there were literally 3 or 4 different, diabetes drug ads playing nonstop. And there are actually, over 100 different options. As a physician, it's really difficult to keep up with every single one of them and really know how to prescribe each one and optimize the therapies and individualize the treatment for the patient. So what we did was essentially develop a way to fix all those problems plus more. We now have a software platform that actually enables patients to easily get their data in one place and allow their providers to look it up, pull it up literally anywhere they want in front of a computer and be able to monitor and review that patient's information in real time to see what's going on. And not only do we make that easy through a combination of apps and, very new cellular-based or Bluetooth-based devices, which are now available. I mean, just 2-3 years ago, these were not. But now they are, and I'll be happy to talk a little bit more about those. But essentially connecting the patients with all the latest and greatest tools that they have at their disposal. If they don't have one, just getting one of those new devices in their hands, so that all their information could be fed and packaged up for their providers. And on the provider side, we fix those problems where we're not just barfing up that information in their faces. A lot of providers, they don't want more work, right? They want their lives to be made easier. So what we develop is some very beautiful applications that are integrated into their workflows where they can see exactly the information they need on a single screen or a single piece of paper for them to make a safe, quick, and effective decision for that patient right then. And one of the things we do very uniquely that no one else in the industry really does is we incorporate the latest clinical guidelines for every single FDA-approved medication on the market. And we actually embed that inside of our application to take this one step further by making recommendations to the healthcare provider about what to do for that patient or what to consider doing for that patient. And so, all those problems, right? Back then it would used to take 30 to 60 minutes just to figure out what's going on with a patient and come up with a plan. you know, all you have to do is open our application now as a provider and know exactly what needs to be done within 30 to 60 seconds. And that's a big deal. And I'll just add one more point on top of that. You know, even though these were initially the problems we wanted to solve as a company, you know, one of the unfortunate things for a very long time was that there were just no financial incentives to really do this. And in the world of managing diabetes, the status quo is to see a patient once every 3 months or so. And, you know, you have them come into your office, you see them for maybe 15, 30 minutes, and you may or may not do something for them, for that patient right at that time, which is very unfortunate because if you have diabetes, you know that it's a daily disease you have to deal with, what you're doing every single day, what you're eating, you know, whether or not you go out for a walk, you know, that affects your blood sugar levels in real time. And that needs to be monitored and controlled, you know, almost in a real time by the provider as well. And if you're only doing that once every 3 months, that's not very effective. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why we have a growing epidemic of diabetes today. And so, you know, it wasn't until 2018, 2019, that CMS finally said, hey, we're actually going to now incentivize provider, reimburse providers to do this. Instead of just seeing the patients once every 3 months, we're going to now incentivize you to use something like Diasys to monitor and manage your patients in between those office visits and spend more time with them, because that's going to result in better outcomes, which ultimately results in a lower total healthcare cost, which is exactly why CMS is starting to come with all these new financial incentives. So that's really the fourth thing we help with is, you know, helping these providers through our platform take advantage of some of these new reimbursements so that they can offer these new virtual care services and telehealth services to their patient populations.
And so you're helping the provider, you're helping also the patient, obviously, and they're able to sort of take more control over their condition. And I have so many questions about this. This is really fascinating. But we are going to take a brief break, and then we'll come back with more with Diasys CEO and co-founder Chun Yang.
Healthcare Confidential is brought to you by Prescriptive Communications, LLC. Analyze, strategize, connect. That's our prescription for healthcare marketing. Prescriptive Communications puts healthcare businesses in front of the audiences they need to reach. If you're ready for a diagnostic on your marketing efforts, get in touch with Prescriptive today. Call us at 631-606-0525 or visit prxcommunications.com. That's 631-606-0525 or prxcommunications.com.
Welcome back to Healthcare Confidential. We are here with Chun Yang, co-founder of Diasys, and we're talking about a remote tool to monitor patients with diabetes and help providers and patients to experience better outcomes, better monitoring, hopefully reduce healthcare costs, do all of those things. So, Chun, you were saying that you really have created an app that collects data from patients, provides it to the physician in one easy to use. Is it a dashboard for the physician?
More or less, yeah. It's a full-blown platform where they can manage their patients. They could be alerted of, you know, what patients might need their attention right then. You know, we'll make recommendations for when to adjust a medication like insulin that a patient might be taking. Within each patient, we have a nice, beautiful dashboard that has all the information you need on one screen to make that, you know, decision right then. And we automate a lot of other administrative processes too. You know, things for documentation, things for billing purposes and revenue cycle management towards some of these new reimbursements. We do all of that. And so it's a really, you know, it's almost like an all-in-one platform, if you will. You could even order devices for your patients and, you know, get your patients one of these latest and greatest glucometers or blood pressure monitors or weight scales that can be connected to the platform. And what's great about these tools now is that there are these cellular-enabled devices these days where if you think about a typical Medicare patient who might not be so tech savvy, or they might not have a smartphone or know how to deal with an app, you could get them one of these devices and all they have to do is use it and that data automatically comes to our platform. So we do a lot.
So tell me about implementation. Is it a lengthy process for a practice to, and do you integrate with the EHR? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, integration is and implementation is actually not rocket science. It's not long, honestly, but I might just be saying that because I'm biased and I've been doing this for 10 years. But honestly, it's not. I think the challenge that the industry has is that it's new. It's something that we're not used to doing, and it's something that we weren't trained to do in school. You know, healthcare providers are really used to just seeing patients in person, and that's how traditionally they've been paid. They've been paid to have these visits and have these procedures for their patient population. You know, trying to flip that around into a, well, now we want to be, you know, value-based, right, quote-unquote. Now we want to be outcomes-based. Now we want to be proactive. You know, instead of waiting for a patient to come into my office so that I can do something for that patient, now I want to monitor that patient proactively while the patient is at home and figure out when something needs to be done for that patient. You know, it's a huge paradigm shift of how we deliver healthcare. And I think that's just the challenging part. I think the technology is really easy. You know, EMRs are super interoperable these days. You know, we can integrate with pretty much anything and everything out there. I think the other challenge is just making sure that there's adequate staffing. That's one of the things we see a lot is, you know, they kind of, in a typical practice or hospital setting, you have your staff members built around, again, receiving patients when they're coming in, but not a dedicated team to proactively monitor, right, and manage patients. So that's another challenge. But again, it seems simple, right? To me, I think it's a really simple process to implement something like this. But, you know, we are seeing some of those challenges, and we do have solutions for those challenges too. One of the things we do as a company is we have a lot of different clinical services partners who actually would come into your practice and they would staff it properly and train that staff. We have pharmacist-based staffing companies. We have diabetes educator-based staffing partners that will take our technology, help implement it, help train it, or even use it for the practice. It's kind of like your part-time or full-time staff. So, you know, right after you make that switch to kind of that reactive way of managing patients to proactive management, I think it's super easy. And we have a lot of successful clients that have made that transition and are doing really well for that and doing great job, you know, great things for their patients today.
And how does it work for them financially? Is it an outlay of dollars for the practice, or does it end up generating revenue?
It actually ends up generating revenue. Before 2018, 2019, it was actually kind of tough to make any money doing this. You know, a lot of our value proposition as a company was really around cost savings and improving your workflows, automating what you do day to day, and ultimately improving outcomes, which might have some long-term incentives and payments, but we never really had any direct revenue new opportunities until 2018, 2019, when CMS introduced was that CMS finally recognized the need for this. And, you know, given that, and it really makes sense, I mean, gives their reimbursements for what we now know today as remote patient monitoring. What was exciting for us when that they cover such a large portion of our affected populations. If you think about your Medicare population, you're 65 and above, about over a quarter of them have diabetes. And so it naturally makes sense that they cover some of these services. They incentivize their providers, their physicians to provide these services for their beneficiaries to help improve their outcomes and help lower their costs. Because that ultimately goes back to CMS in terms of cost savings, right? Which ultimately goes back to the tax dollar that you and I pay for. So this is a really important pivotal moment for us because all of a sudden providers can make money directly from Medicare by utilizing our application and implementing that into our population. And the way it works just at a very high level, I mean, just by getting a patient set up on a program with us, CMS will incentivize and pay for that service just by giving one of these devices that's connected and actively monitoring them, monitoring the patient and collecting a set amount of information and data from that patient. You could get paid. And then, you know, by spending time on that patient, you know, in between, remember those in between those office visits where the, when the patient is at home, that you could get paid to, again, monitor, engage, manage the patient to help them get to their goals a lot more quickly. So these reimbursements have become better and better. CMS have been introducing new incentives, especially in the wake of COVID, more and more telehealth, more and more virtual-based encounters. This is becoming a big deal in the industry, and more and definitely a lot of private payers like your Blue Cross Blue Shields, your United Healthcare, your Humanas, these guys are following suit too. So I think it's a really big deal, and it's a brand new revenue opportunity now for a lot of practices today.
Sure. I mean, once there's financial incentives like that, that's got to be a huge lever, a huge motivator. And so obviously you're in a growth phase. How has COVID affected your business?
You know, it's pretty interesting for us. I think overall it definitely had a net positive growth for Diocese. You know, we were, we're always a technology company. We're always a virtual care provider. You know, if you kind of think about what we were, kind of like almost a Zoom, right? Before it became cool. It was like a Zoom for healthcare, if you will, before people even really knew what we were, what we were doing, or even knew that we needed it, right? I mean, before you and I used Zoom, no one knew what it was. I mean, and then COVID happened and all of a sudden everyone said, okay, we got to work on Zoom now. It was kind of,
we can't get off Zoom now.
Exactly. And I feel like that's going to stay for a very long time. It was the same thing with us. I mean, before COVID, you know, there were a few, I would say, innovative organizations that said, you know, this is absolutely what we need to do. This is the future. But, you know, I personally spoken and engage. I mean, I was knocking on doors of practices and hospitals, meeting with providers. I mean, you know, out of probably about 2,000 practices we knocked on the doors of, I would say less than 5% pre-pandemic really appreciated what we did. And, you know, post-pandemic, I think a lot of those people started to recognize, wow, like, you know, they kind of have, you know, what exactly we need during the pandemic to continue seeing and monitoring and managing our patients that are not coming in anymore. And on top of that, you know, you read all these articles about, you know, how COVID complications are worse in patients with diabetes and other chronic conditions. I mean, that also kind of helped us, I would say, because I think that put a spotlight on how we are managing these conditions and honestly, how we're not doing a good job of it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just, again, you know, everything kind of came together and I think the industry kind of woke up and appreciated what we did. Physicians themselves finally appreciated what we did. And so now they're looking at this and saying, hey, we need to do this. I mean, there's no other way because number one, it's obviously better for our patients. But number two, we have to do this as a business to even survive. Since patients aren't coming into our offices anymore, we can't make money off of appointments face to face. So we have to make money elsewhere. And this is where virtual care and this is where telehealth really started to skyrocket.
Yeah, this is a tool for doing that. So as you look ahead, what do you see happening in terms of the reimbursement landscape and any changes that might be ahead?
Well, you know, we got our first reimbursement back in 2018. In 2019, we, you know, Medicare literally tripled down and introduced three more codes. They introduced another one in 2020 and, you know, continuing into 21. They've only made it better, and they've only introduced more of these reimbursements. Going into 2022, they're introducing another set of reimbursements. Now, instead of it calling or being under remote patient monitoring, they're now calling it remote therapeutic monitoring, which is very interesting because CMS now wants to incentivize the monitoring and the management of patients who are collecting what they call non-physiologic data, And to describe that just really briefly, remote patient monitoring, what we've been doing for a very long time, has been really focused on the collection of, you know, physiologic data that you can measure, things like your blood glucose values for the purposes of diabetes management, things like your blood pressure readings for the purposes of hypertension management. We do all of that. But with remote therapeutic monitoring, CMS has recognized that there are other clinical information that you can't really measure from a medical device that's very important for the patient's healthcare. Things like what's the patient's response to the medications they're taking? Are they having any side effects to it, negative or positive? What's their respiratory status? Again, you can't really measure that, but a patient could certainly describe that and report that, right? What's your musculoskeletal status? Are you having joint pains, right? So again, you can't really measure it with a device per se, but a patient could certainly complain about it and provide a, you know, physician valuable data around that. And so, you know, CMS is in the process of trying to figure out how do we incentivize this to happen? What sort of applications and devices do we want to reimburse for in order to capture this type of information? And how do we want to incentivize providers to monitor their patients for these specific conditions and data and manage and treat these patients accordingly? And what's really interesting beyond that too is CMS is considering allowing non-physician providers to provide these services and get paid for it. Because traditionally, whenever CMS publishes these new reimbursements, you have to work within a physician or under a physician, under a provider, in order to bill for these services and get reimbursed by Medicare for these services. But now they're looking at non-physicians. And if you think about non-physicians in the industry, great professionals who can provide these types of services include clinical pharmacists. There's so many of them out there who could provide great, you know, chronic care, disease monitoring and management that they're not really getting paid to do so right now. I think this is going to be great for them. There are diabetes educators out there, nurses who are out getting their, you know, certificates in diabetes education who are very capable of providing these monitoring management services as well. And so CMS is trying to figure out, they're proposing, they're getting the industry to try to provide them feedback on, you know, what what they think they should do. And you know, come 2022, you know, whether or not they want to pay a pharmacist or pay a diabetes educator to provide these services. And so, you know, I think we have a really great opportunity ahead of us, you know, taking the silver lining of COVID, which again is, I think, introducing to the industry all these brand new tools and ways of managing, you know, some of these epidemics like diabetes and hypertension we have in this country. You know, I think we have an opportunity to actually shape how CMS is going to finally publish and finalize their reimbursements regulations for 2022. And the best way to do this right now is if you are a pharmacist, if you are a diabetes educator, if you're one of these individuals who want to provide these services, you can simply look up the CMS physician fee schedule for 2022. Simply Google that. And there's a way to actually write to CMS about the upcoming rules, which is due September 13. And we as a company will be able to, you know, work with you and help you advocate for, you know, what we believe are some of the necessary changes to really help, you know, healthcare professionals and patients across the country. And, you know, this is an annual process. CMS does this every year around the summertime. They'll publish what they're thinking about. They'll welcome comments, receive comments. They have to review every single one, actually, and they'll finalize what they want to do in 2022 or the subsequent year. And if you're a healthcare professional and you're not a physician and you provide these services on a day-to-day basis, I think, you know, this can certainly help you and your patients as well.
That's a very interesting opportunity for healthcare professionals who are not physicians to get involved. So thank you for sharing that information with us. And thanks for taking the time to talk with us here on Healthcare Confidential. Where can listeners learn more if you want to give us your website or how they can get in touch or learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. Just simply come to our website, www.diasyst.com. That's D-I-A-S-Y-S-T.com. If you want to learn more about the reimbursements, we have a very easy, simple contact form page at the bottom. Just come in, submit your information, and one of us will be able to work with you and respond accordingly.
Great. Thank you again for being here.
Thank you, Teresa. It was great.
And I want to remind listeners that new Healthcare Confidential episodes are available every Monday morning wherever you access podcasts. The show is brought to you by Prescriptive Studios and is hosted on Omni Studio. Our theme song is an original composition written and performed by Patrick Bukarsik. Our production assistant is John Roy. Views expressed on the show are solely those of the host and guest and do not reflect any other entity. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave us your feedback and help us continue the conversation by dropping a note on the Healthcare Confidential Facebook page. Stay well, everyone.